FM 90.3 WJTL, digging deep into the archives for the All Saved Freak Band and their ode to Glenn Schwartz and the guy who wrote that track, my special guest here tonight, Joe Marco, original member of the group. And Joe, any idea how the name, where the name All Saved Freak Band came from?
Yeah, I did that. In fact, I had a trademark at one point. We had originally called ourselves Preacher and the Witness. But when Glenn came on board, we felt there needed to be a change. And we were at rehearsal just throwing things back and forth. Finding a name for a band is always traumatic, you know. But it just, I said, well, how about calling it the All Saved Freak Band? Because we're all just a bunch of saved freaks anyhow. And it just stuck on. It just stuck. So that's what it was. It came out of almost a joke, but we stuck with it.
That's too funny. Oh, by the way, I did come across a video clip. I don't know if you've seen it or not on YouTube the other night of you and Glenn Schwartz playing at I guess a club or something. It's only like a minute long, and it's upside down for some reason. But it was pretty cool seeing you two together.
Yeah, well, we remain friends to the end, and I was the officiate at his service for everything, and at the head of his grave with Frank Cook from the Canned Heat, came all the way in from California to be there for Glenn's service. So we remain friends, and I miss him. But I'm not sure that addresses your question, but it triggered a soft spot for me.
Oh, that's fine. But, I mean, we were chatting off air. Well, before we went into the song, you were talking about, you know, the reaction you were getting playing gospel rock music back then. And off the air, we were talking about when you were traveling. Share that story about, you know, you guys didn't stay in hotels back then.
No. First of all, anybody who heard our music was taking a chance. But we traveled up, we traveled from 1976 was the big year. We started traveling up in Maine and through the Northeast and went up to Canada to Indian reservations where we just played acoustic music. And then we also that year in Florida for spring break and up and down the East Coast. So we played a lot, but people took a chance because when we got some places, they really didn't know what they were getting. And we set up and played in more than one church where by the time we got into the second or third song, the pastor got up and unplugged the amplifiers and apologized to the congregation. He didn't know what he was getting into, he said. So we had a lot of that where people just they frowned upon it. It was a mingling of the church and the world, and on its face that is wrong and corrupting. So they followed the only light they had, and you can't fault people for doing that. But it's clear that it was God's message for another generation.
And then the story about spending a rainy night under a bus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we didn't get hotels booked. We didn't get paid. We paid our own way everywhere, and we were up in the Northeast, and we arrived a little bit early, and it was raining, and we've been in the vehicles all day long driving. And the only place we could see where it was dry was under the school buses. So we grabbed our sleeping bags and rolled under the school bus at night and stayed there till the next morning. But when we were in Chicago one time playing a gig, and they were supposed to pay our expenses. When it was all done, the guy said, we didn't make enough money. We can't give you anything. So we had to see if we could scrape enough to get three vehicles home from Chicago to Ohio. But it was... If it was your ministry, you did it. If you were called, you went. And we just did what we needed to do to make it all happen. So it was completely different. We didn't stop for lunches. We stopped for gasoline, but we had crackers and sardines and canteens of water in the vehicles. And that's what we ate as we traveled. It was really mission work, and it was a whole new mission field. So it was different.
A different time indeed. But that's what helped get us to where we are, and all of us that enjoy contemporary Christian music today, Joe, we thank you for paying those dues.
Well, we didn't know we were paying dues. We were having a good time. We this is the way it is. And so you adapt and you do it, and you're glad you can do it at all. And if you have to pay the bill to do it, then so be it. But that's just the way it is. And that's the way it is for anybody who's a mission-minded person, even now. So, you know, there's a lot of people still plowing that furrow.
I think that's the living definition of being called.
Could be. I would hate to think it was that simple, but that is, you call, you go. You don't wait to be assigned. We didn't. I mean, I went into ministry, Bible school, studied, became a pastor, and all of that later. But at the time, we didn't study to be evangelists. We just went out and started running our mouth for Jesus. And, you know, it wasn't always good. We were ignorant. We were overzealous. But we were out there. We were out there. And there was a lot of people who just, I don't know, just didn't feel comfortable pounding pavement. And so it was pretty much us out there. Maybe we'd occasionally run into some Teen Challenge folks. But that was about it.
Well, these days you've moved from Joe Marco the musician to Joe Marco the author. How did that come about?
Oh, I've always been writing. I have a copy of the first article I ever wrote. It was in the 8th grade newsletter for our school. It was about the gym show. I've been writing forever. When I became a pastor, I discovered some flaws in my presentation, so I wrote my sermons and read them from the pulpit, but I was so familiar with them, people didn't really realize I was reading most of the time. But I just always loved the written word. Searching for that fit words, you know, like apples of gold and frames of silver, and looking for those kinds of words to encourage or uplift or challenge people, even. Except the latter end, I'm not so good at anymore. I want to encourage and lift people up. But that's what I've been writing. And when I was in the ministry, I wrote up my sermons, I printed them out, and handed them out to people as they left the church on Sunday morning so they could take it and read it. And I've had articles published in, it was the Pentecostal Evangel, and I actually written 7 books, but I've only bothered to have 2 published on a larger scale.
Okay. Well, your current book, Genesis of a Genre, The Birth of Christian Rock, what led you into doing this book?
This book was about the music of not just the band Agape, but about the earliest Christian rock scene. And it starts 5 years before the term contemporary Christian music was coined in 1972 and 1973. Fred Caban, the lead guitarist and co-founder of that band, contacted me in March of 2022. We'd gotten together to work on a recording in Tucson about 10 years before that, and he remembered me and he called me and he said he felt it was time for the story of Agape to be told, and he said, and I want you to write it. He said it just that way. So I told him I'd think about it, and as I thought about it, it just felt like something I was supposed to do. So I spent the next year and a half writing it and getting it out.
Well, fantastic. So for folks who don't know Agape very well, which unless you're a true Jesus music aficionado, you probably don't, because they never got a lot of press, and their albums are hard to come by. So let's sample a bit of Agape music here for folks from their first project. This is their song, Happy, and it's from the archives on WJTL.